Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And if you think the sigh...
You sound sad.
Yes, for the imminent hiring of Brian Schottenheimer. Well, I got more for you. I'm going to blame this on Alec Medford.
Breaking news.
It is breaking news.
This is breaking news.
I realize it is actually via Shams, but... Alec, when they say don't blame the messenger, at this exact moment, just for a minute or two.
Yeah, I kind of blame you right now.
I'm 100% blaming you for telling me that Derek Lively has a fracture in his foot and he will be out 2 to 3 months.
Thanks a lot, Alec.
Season over.
I mean, I tried.
Let's shut it down.
So while people are...
Can I ask some questions here?
Yes.
All right.
Maybe you should ask Alec.
Yeah.
He's delivering all the bad
news.
We're best friends too, remember?
He goes,
Mike,
actually, that's not what
the word for a while was that Gafford was kind of dangling in trade conversations.
Right.
And there was always this, why would you want to do that when you have two of these and Lively typically is injured?
Yeah.
There's no way you can consider him in this in a trade conversation if you're trying to make a run now, right?
I guess if you're going to go with that specific sentence, then no, you can't.
But you went the totally opposite direction, I want to make it clear. I do not want to trade Daniel Gafford. But if you're like, this season is effed, let's do whatever we can, I guess you could consider it.
You could consider it. Here's probably what they're looking at, Corey, because I think there's way more than just that sentence. He's going to get $25 million a year when he hits free agency, which is sooner than Derek Lively. Derek Lively, obviously he broke his foot. We'll see how he recovers from that next year. His season's over. Like, he ain't playing again this year. So if you look at Derek Lively next year, you have to see how his foot recovers. You still have 3 years of control of him, but Derek Lively's probably a max out player. So he's probably looking at when 3 years from now, he's probably looking at $40 million a year. I don't know what the max will be at that point, but you probably can't pay $70 million to two centers who share the position. So if you're looking at the Mavs from a standpoint of, hey, can we do this? Can we keep these guys through the Luka era? Well, if you are, you're looking at approximately $70 million a year from those two guys. And right now, you're paying approximately $20 million a year for those two guys.
And that's why last season, this season, and next season were the perfect time, because Daniel Gafford was at about 12, 13, 14. You still got Derek Lively under the rookie contract. This really sucks, because it feels like we've been grasping at every straw possible for why this season could still be alive. And it feels more and more like the injury people are like, okay, but it's not, so you should give up. So then do you shift all your focus to next year, I guess?
I would. If I'm Nico, I shift it all to next year.
And can I tell you, that's why something that annoyed me yesterday, and I realize it's more complex than just me saying, oh, the Mavericks should have done that move. Like, I understand that. But you heard the move yesterday, which everyone thinks is facilitating Phoenix picking up Jimmy Butler, because Phoenix sent their 2031 unprotected first-round pick to the Jazz for 3 first-round picks, 25, 27, and 29. Now, every one of those picks is the worst of the bunch. So, like, this year, it's whoever has the worst pick, for the team. Between Cleveland and Minnesota, 2027, Cleveland, Minnesota, and Utah, 2029, Cleveland, Minnesota, and Utah. So I get it. Like, there's a good shot.
It'll be picks 25 through 30.
Exactly. But if you're the Mavericks and you're like, hey, we got 3 first-round picks like in the next 8 years and we can only trade 2 of them, this is the kind of deal that intrigues me, just because I'm like, man, if then you could tell me we have 2 2025s, a 26, a 27, 29, that at least like gets you back in a trading conversation potentially for some things. And I have a feeling that the Suns are going to pretty quickly turn this around for something to do with Jimmy Butler. And so I thought it was a really heads up and savvy move by the Suns if they really want Jimmy Butler.
So he can't fail for Flag, is what you're saying?
Yes. No, you're too far out of that, but yeah. There's a good chance you're in the lottery the same way you were 2 years ago. So I think there's a good chance you finish 11th or 12th in the conference. Mm-hmm. So that means you are in the lottery situation, but most likely the Mavericks will be picking somewhere between 15 and 10, like a few years ago, because we're not sure Luka's coming back this year either. Like, let's just be honest about that calf and his work ethic and his weight situation. Like, that's not an easy comeback injury like it is. And then I have to deal with Kyrie's back and seeing if he gets numbness again down his legs like he had a few weeks ago. I have to shut him down for another 5 to 15 days to see how he feels after doing some more kind of work on his back. So this is just a lost year.
Corey.
And I think that when you're a GM, it's kind of frustrating as you're trying to go through that, what Mike's going through and what Chris Young went through. Is my team really this or is it not?
Yeah.
And if I go ahead and pack it up on this one, can I guarantee that next year everybody will be healthy all season? No, I can't. I got to try everything I can to, at the last minute, pull this thing together.
I will tell you this. If you're looking for, and I'm going to work really hard at this, if you're looking for a potential bright side, now, Corey, you said, so we probably can't fail for Flag. The good news about the way they switched up the NBA draft lottery is if you can have one of the worst, like, 5 or 6 records, then you've got a better shot than maybe you had in years past. That's still going to be really tough to get to. But I will tell you this. If you want to start watching some Rutgers basketball, Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper, I think, are two, like, very real prospects in this draft.
All right.
Trey Johnson, who obviously Mike has brought up, local product, he's going to be really high. So while everybody wants Cooper Flagg, and I understand that, this is a significantly better draft than last year.
Ooh.
Where they were like, let's figure out who's number one. There's a very defined number one, and then whether you think it's Newell, Bailey, Harper, Trey Johnson, or whoever.
Somebody's like, there.
There's battles for who could be 2, 3, 4, or whatever the case might be.
I wonder this.
If we're going extreme.
Does it make it easier now in the next few weeks, because the trade deadline is coming up, does it make it easier to trade Klay Thompson now going, I get it, we have you next year at $16.6 million, but we're not making a playoff run. If your goal is to win one more time, we can't do it.
Then you have to convince him. I'm being dead serious about this. You have to convince him it's his idea, right?
Yes.
Or you have to wait until he asks. Because he'd be like,
I kind of want to go to a contender.
Like,
you
talk to his agent and say, hey, we're having teams that are interested in Klay. You see our situation. Luka, we're 50-50 on him coming back after the All-Star break. We know that Derek Lively's season is done. We got to protect that foot, especially what we have invested in him and what we think of his future. He's done for the year. We just can't compete in the Western Conference with the injuries that we have. And I'm throwing out a team. San Antonio's calling up because they want to make a run. Do you want to go play with Chris Paul and Wimby?
Yeah.
Like, I'm throwing out something, and you're kind of maybe just trying to get rid of his salary and open up more playing time for something or other, and they're going to throw in a first round pick. Cleveland, who looks like they could win it all. They want to give us a pick for you. You know, like, I don't know. Like, at this point, I do think you start looking at, in a way, this is maybe good that Derek Lively's foot broke now, is that it gives you time to reassess your trade situation.
That's true. And if I was looking at it just from a practical standpoint, but if everybody wants to make a run for it, I can quickly turn the corner. I think you can realistically get to the 9th worst record in the NBA. I'm just saying, if that's your goal for the best possible draft capital, I think you can reasonably get down to the 9th worst record, which gives you a 5% shot of getting picks 1, 2, 3, and 4.
I'm not rooting for this, but look, if you start getting numbness again down Kyrie Irving's leg, which you don't want, because here's the deal. He's going to opt out of that 1-year contract.
He has
a player option. He's going to opt out. It makes it very difficult on what do we do if a dude at his age is now having numbness going down his leg with a back issue. So that gets scary in your future with Kyrie being here. But if Kyrie misses the majority of the second half of the season with a back issue, sciatic nerve issue, back surgery issue, and Luka can't really play and Derek Lively is done for the year now, then you're probably going to lose most of your games. We've seen it. They cannot beat New Orleans. They cannot beat Charlotte. And that's with Kyrie on the court. They can't do it. So they're going to lose most of their games. If there's no Luka, no Kyrie, and no Derek Lively, you are one of the five worst teams in the NBA.
Jason Kidd is Bruce Bochy in that his first year losing the Western Conference Finals, then don't make the playoffs, lose in the finals, maybe don't make the playoffs.
Next
year is our win the finals is what I'm being, what I'm figuring here.
Look, at this point, and I still think there's a wild set of variants for the Mavericks, depending on a couple more things. First of all, the loss of Lively for 2 to 3 months, in case you're catching up, and that's what happened. Look, I already thought that they were going to lose the next three games. I don't feel like that's a negative point of view to put you at 23-23. And then as you get closer to the All-Star break, will Luka be back? How long will Luka be back? Kyrie's back.
Mm-hmm.
How problematic is that? Because that can change a lot of things. Because I can see a scenario, and Mike, I'm dead serious about this. I can see a scenario where Kyrie's back holds up, Luka's back, and he's good to go, and you make a run towards the playoffs. Now, what happened?
Like 6-7, yeah, 8 seed is best case scenario.
I could absolutely see that. On the flip side, it's a pretty dark picture with no Derek Lively until probably at least April. So, like, we're talking about the very end of the regular season, and that like might be a better case scenario. Kyrie Irving's back acts up and Luka continues to have calf issues or whatever other issues. To Mike's point, now all of a sudden, that's why I was like, I could see you having the ninth worst record.
Kevin, according to Calvin Watkins, person with knowledge of the talks, said
hold on,
that Brian,
hold on. Wait. Corey, is there any chance you can just lie to me and say that they are still going to talk to Dion or something like that?
Okay. He said that Brian Schottenheimer's discussions today with the Cowboys officials is more of a continuation from Tuesday's interview. And then Jory Epstein said the Cowboys brass continuing to have their conversations. They met yesterday, and now today, it's kind of cold outside, but things are heating up. I don't know if she's talking about the conversation or the weather. And then with Shoddy already in town, whether it's, this is a second interview or first, is just semantics. So it's kind of like still the first interview, Kevin. Does that make you feel better than...
No, it doesn't.
All right.
No, it doesn't. Well. Because also I have questions about the need for that second interview when he's been hanging out for a couple of years. Or I think this is just the proper channel. You know, like whenever there's a terrible employee that gets fired, and you're like, hey, we got to fire this person. And you're like, I know, but I have to go through the official channels. This feels like the official channels where the Jones family is going to be like, I mean, we had him in for 2 interviews before we decided to do anything. I know he's been here for 2 years. He's right around the corner anytime we need him, but we went through the official channels and we did all of the things. And then another thing to go along with this, because I see people keep texting this in. Yes, I am also concerned about Derek Lively beyond just this year because I think he kicks ass. And if he's going to be continually problematic injury-wise, well, that really sucks because for once, you hit the nail on the head with your draft pick. And that's how you continue to forward your NBA team.
It just shows the Mavs are cursed at center for their whole franchise.
It really does feel like this. Like, I thought we apexed with James Donaldson, and you're like, I mean, we can do
but
a little
Roy
bit
Tarpley
better.
But Roy Tarpley was kind of center-like, and then he'd like cocaine a whole bunch.
Yes, he did.
And so then you get to, like, who's the next one? Sean Bradley, when you traded for him, and you're like, this is going to work out.
And I would tell, I just got this.
Eric Dampier, Sagana Jop.
Yeah, I just got this notification 12 minutes ago. The over-under victory total for the Mavericks fell from 49.5 to 45.5. Look, if you could still find that number somewhere, I do not think picking the under would be a poor decision whatsoever.
I think they'll struggle to get to 40.
See?
They might not even get to 25 at this pace.
Okay.
They will get to at least 35.
The Oklahoma City Thunder are like, we'll give you this game.
They'll win 12 more games this year, and maybe they will win 17.
Yeah.
Somewhere between 12 and 17 more wins.
So here's the situation.
If the Rangers went 162-0 this year, their combined records would probably be like 164-0.
No, no, okay.
Plus all the losses.
They'll have more wins than that, but it is.
It's just going to go bad.
It is. I get it.
Might as well just ice over the city again.
It's a bleak outlook for the Mavericks right now. I know there are a lot of people who have a bleak outlook for the Cowboys.
There's so much bleak.
I feel like maybe
tonight you can watch Dinwiddie dribble the basketball.
Okay, I feel like maybe we'll push the villain topic because people are really upset right now.
I don't know. The villain exists.
Okay, here we go. I got positive news for you. Coming up next, we will introduce you to what could easily be your new favorite Rangers player. Plus, maybe some gridiron. Plus, maybe some Hall of Fame baseball talk. Or maybe some other sad news will come out. We'll find out next on The Fan.
And Jake Berger with a drive out toward left center. Happy birthday, Berger! 3-run homer.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We felt like we needed some good news. From the 817, my new favorite Rangers player is Jake Berger and his daughter. Let's talk about that a little bit more. We haven't had the opportunity the last couple days. But if you've missed it, there's been a lot happening during the show today.
Name one thing.
Derek Lively fractured his foot, and he's out 2 to 3 months.
Well, the season ends in 3 months.
So that's nice.
Great.
And then Brian Schottenheimer has been brought back in for a second interview that really kind of sounds like they're just following what they feel like is procedure to get this deal done.
I said name one thing.
Okay.
Sweet. Stacked on top of it.
And the Stars lost.
Well, I mean, for all the private schools, it helps out Taps. Witten's leaving his position. Yes, so
that would be the thought that a lot of us have, that Witten would be on the staff and Schottenheimer would be a placeholder until Witten took over.
What if Mike McCarthy takes over at Frisco Liberty? Is it not Frisco Liberty? It's
Argyle Liberty.
Yeah. What if McCarthy takes that job?
Man,
I don't think he loves this area that much.
I still can't rule out Mike McCarthy comes back here. And he's like, I just kidding.
What? No. Kevin,
you can rule it out.
Stop. This isn't like somebody's passed away and you're in denial and you're just like, but he could come back.
I was in denial phase about a lot of things today.
And I was like, he's going to pop up at some point. He's coming out of the coffin. It's going to be all right.
So we need something positive. That positive story comes to you via Jake Berger. Now, Jake Berger is going to wear number 21. I saw Pat Doney report on this. It really spread quickly, and we didn't get a chance to bring it up on Monday or Tuesday, but he's going to wear number 21 for his daughter Penelope, who was born with Down syndrome. The genetic condition, more specifically, is known as trisomy 21, I believe.
Okay.
And that results in an extra copy of chromosome 21.
Okay.
Which is what led to the Down syndrome, and which is why he's specifically he's picking this number out to do it just for his little daughter. And she is like, she's little. I don't know exactly how many months old she is, but she's like little. And he said, for me, it's about trying to spread awareness. And I just started to think about, like, the money is awesome. And you always tell me that. Adrian always tells me that the money we raise for My Possibilities is super cool. But it's the awareness that's probably the bigger deal. And so I kind of thought about this because, like, this story was just in People magazine. So, like, it's spread beyond.
When you read People?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
But this story is spread beyond what's your usual, like, Jake Berger's a good player, but he's not at the level where, like, every single thing he does gets covered or even close. So when you see that story get picked up in People, like, you know it's gone beyond the normal scope of, like, what media sports does and does not hit.
Yeah, that awareness somebody that doesn't know.
Exactly. And so I just keep thinking about that, and I know it comes from a potentially disappointing place, but the opportunity that, like, they talked about it, hey, when they told them that their child might have an issue with this, they're like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, no thoughts or anything otherwise. And it looks like maybe their baby is almost 3 months old. And so just the level of awareness, I feel like if we could even take these couple of minutes to spread it, talk to him when we get to spring training and spread awareness. And like,
he remembered our interview. I saw him at FanFest Saturday. And I was like, hey, we interviewed. He's like, that was a great interview. That was fun. So like,
I love it.
I was like, yeah, we're not trying to be like, hey, you know, you've done this or done that and then try to break down your swing or whatever. We're like, we're going to get to know you. And we didn't know this. Obviously, we didn't know. So there was no way to know to ask about this when the Rangers traded for him. Right. Traded for him. Yeah, yes. Traded for him. So, but he really enjoyed the interview that we had. And I said, we got to do it again in spring training. So he said, no problem.
I do believe Jock Peterson has his older brother has Down syndrome. And I did get a story sent. So this is two players that we got here that have this similar connection.
Yeah.
To something that also, honestly, we've been very strongly connected to with my possibilities right. for years now.
Right.
So yeah, that conversation, the ability to talk about it is really cool. But I love the relationship. I love seeing the relationship too, with you know Jock and his brother, and with Jake and his daughter. That's 3 months old. He has no clue what world you know sure. he's getting ready to open into, and it's kind of awesome for him.
And I just thought it was cool. Like obviously, people were probably going to cheer. Rangers fans are going to cheer for Jake Berger anyway. But if you needed just like that little extra something, and it felt like a uplifting type of story when we've had to deliver a bunch of crap news today.
Yeah. Every home run that Jake Berger hits, I think we're all going to have a little extra oomph yes. behind it.
Yes. I think you lost a good person in Nate Lowe. Really fun, loving guy, good teammate, good guy. And they're bringing in a different person. But a really good guy. I've noticed a lot about the Rangers. They're quiet personalities. Jock is very different from
yes.
the 25 other Rangers for the most part.
Yes.
But Jake Berger, another good guy. We'll see maybe like his kind of personality or not see tons of personality. I don't know. But the Rangers do have a bunch of kind of quiet good guys who do a lot of things in the community. And I'm not trying to take a shot at if somebody's like, well, what about... Yeah, the Cowboy players obviously do a lot of good too. So do the Mavericks. So do the Stars. So I do think in a way that as we are like just dauber down today,
yeah,
it's just not going well for the Metroplex in sports. I guess at least we have a bunch of good people that are on our team.
Which is nice. Kevin, is this going to be bad?
I don't think this is breaking information. Yes.
Did Alec give this to you?
Is about the Raiders.
Oh, okay.
The Raiders are expected to hire Bucks assistant GM John Spytek as their new general manager.
Huh.
Was he there with Tom Brady?
Well,
is it Spytek?
You know what?
Well, that's I didn't even think of that, but I was thinking Tom Brady was there. Tom Brady's a minority
yeah,
owner
that's
in the Raiders,
point.
So like there could be a relationship.
Yes. Supposedly Brady reached up Belichick.
He was there when they won the Super Bowl. Okay. Yeah, and he's respected for helping build the Buccaneers.
Look. So. Corey, at this point, neutral sports information coming in is acceptable. All right, we've had a bunch of bad today. It's looking like the Cowboys are finally finalizing things up, potentially with Brian Schottenheimer. Derek Lively fractured his foot. He's out for 2 to 3 months. Let's throw this out there. It's been a busy day. We haven't even mentioned this person yet. Give me cut number 6, where Ichiro was almost unanimous for the Hall of Fame.
Ground ball, base hit in the right field. Heading for third is Terrence Long. The throw by Ichiro. Beautiful. Peggy got him. Holy smoke. A laser beam strike from Ichiro.
Now, I want to talk about that, but a couple of quick things that people have reached out and they're already sharing their story, which is super cool. Like, it's super cool because I appreciate you willing to be vulnerable about your life and what's going on. From the 214, Jake Berger is now my favorite player. I have a son with Down syndrome and he's 25. And then there's this. I love this. From the 972, here's a challenge. Donate $21 to the charity every time Berger hits a home run, or maybe somehow troll the Buffalo Bills and have them add to it. Look, if Jake Berger would have dropped the pass to lose to the Buffalo Bills, we could have filled up that charity. But that's a great idea. If you have the monetary means and the charitable heart to do so, $21 every time he hits a home run, or you can do it however you want. I think that would be amazing.
Dude, I think we also need to just reach out to Bill's Mafia during Peace-a-thon and just be like, hey, do y'all want a good cause?
That is to dive great in on right idea. Here. And I'd be like, don't forget, we cost you two of those Super Bowls. Like, you know.
Maybe don't sell that. You
okay.
Know? Maybe
I feel like they like that, though. They're like, hey, we've competed against
yeah,
you.
Yeah, just say we're not a threat anymore.
That's a good point. That is a very good point. Now, Ichiro gets 393 out of the 394 Hall of Fame votes. He's a clear Hall of Famer at 99.7%. I know some people are kind of jammed up that he didn't get that one vote, just like Derek Jeter didn't. But the only unanimous one is Mariano Rivera. And I get it. It's different now. But if you look back at it, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Joe DiMaggio, none of those people are unanimous Hall of Famers.
You might have this in front of you, but I have the top 10 highest percentage.
I have the top like seven, so it sounds like we need to go to you.
So here's what I don't get real quick is Rivera was 425 out of 425.
What happened to all the Hall of Fame voters?
This year was 394 votes.
I think, didn't they say they were going to start purging some people who have, I guess it's legal either way. But in the sense that they're just going to take them off the voter roll. Not they're going to fire up the alarm and everything is legal. Yeah.
So Rivera's one. Ichiro is tied at two with, you just mentioned, Derek Jeter. So number four, if Jeter's three, let's just say, is Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah.
Number five is Tom Seaver. He received 98.8% of the vote, 425 out of 430. Number six is Nolan Ryan in 1999 at 98.8%. Number seven, Cal Ripken Jr. at 98.5%. Number eight, Ty Cobb in 1936. This is the first year the Hall of Fame had votes, or the Hall of Fame opened up. So this is the first year of the Hall of Fame, 98.2. Then George Brett in 1999. He was in the same class with Nolan Ryan. And then number 10 is Hank Aaron in 1982 with 97.8. So having all the records at the time of retirement, Hank Aaron had nine people say not a Hall of Famer.
Babe Ruth is 18th on this list. 11 people were like, he's pretty good.
Dude, when we were looking at I was looking at WAR yesterday, and he's got the top three single season WARs ever. And like Mike Trout, as great as he's been, has a few of them too, but the numbers still never matched Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
The king of baseball, the sultan of SWAT, the king of clout, the great Bambino, not even 100% of the vote.
And like, this is the part that boggles my mind. Sorry, I'm going to throw this player under the bus. Jim Tomei has a 0.07 higher percentage of getting voted into the Hall of Fame than Joe DiMaggio. What the hell are we even talking
about?
Because
I was teammates with
you. That's probably true. So while people are upset it's not unanimous, I do want to point out all of the greatest players you've ever thought of in your life that aren't Mariano Rivera, neither did they. 43 people thought Mickey Mantle did not belong in the Hall of Fame when they voted.
So let me ask you this. On the top 10, and maybe it was like as a person, I don't know. I know I'm going to card collecting or whatever. I didn't know this list until last night when Ichiro almost got the 100%. Does that make you either want to collect those guys? Does it matter to you the percentage that they got in by? As in the top 10 are just, would you call them would you call them the 10 best Hall of Famers?
See, and I think so, but I'm looking at it and like there are two. And I'm going to throw somebody in there and people can get mad at me. There are two people that I'm like, I do not think that collectible market is crazy for them. One of them is Mariano Rivera, quite frankly. Jeter, I can see. Ichiro, we'll see what this does. Griffey, for sure. Tom Seaver, I get that. Nolan, Cal, I get that. George Brett, it doesn't feel like people are always clamoring over his stuff. So I don't know how that works. It doesn't seem to have a direct correlation that I would think.
Yeah, so my dad is obviously a huge George Brett, I guess I'll say fan, but they are about the same age, both made the major leagues approximately the same time, and he was like in the American League in the mid to late 70s, 1980 or so, because that's when my dad stopped playing, is he'll tell you George Brett was the best player in the American League.
Okay, yeah.
So like Mike Schmidt never obviously got to play against, you know, type of deal. But he'll be like, yeah, no, George was the best in that in that 5-year span.
And if you just want to see even again how much Hall of Fame voting has evolved, again, this dude is a great player. Chipper Jones has a higher vote percentage than Willie Mays.
Like, well, Willie Mays
might be at worst the third best player who's ever played baseball.
What do we really know about him, though?
A lot.
Can I ask you? I don't know, because I can look at this. I know Hank Aaron because it says class of 1982.
I've got the list for a ways.
What class did Willie Mays go into?
Willie Mays was in the class of 1979.
I know that's close to 82. Were there maybe voters that were in the Writers Association that used to write about Major League Baseball while there was the Negro Leagues and the Major Leagues, and they're like, I'm not voting for a black person?
Yeah, probably so.
I could see that. The voting totals are pretty close. It's a 17-vote difference. So it's not like they completely overhauled in those 3 years. You might be right.
I'm just wondering, like, how do you not vote Willie Mays as like, nah, I'm not going to do it? And then I'm just thinking, what could be reasons why?
Yeah, because I'm trying to look for like some other players that would kind of fit that bill. And obviously going further back, there's a whole lot of white people on the list. So I do get that. That's a good question. Yeah. Honestly, I don't know. By the way, as I try to wedge in even more content, Sebastian Walcott was named the number 4 best shortstop prospect in all of baseball. And
I met him Saturday. He was signing autographs and I shook his hand for the first time. Big hands.
Was there a good line for that? Like,
I don't know. I met him.
Okay. Like right.
He was waiting to go to where he was going to sign. So I'm going to assume. So there were a lot of people there.
How's he looking?
Great.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, I've heard a lot about you. Great to meet you. Can't wait to see you up in the big leagues and putting on a show. And he goes, I can't wait to get here.
Oh, my gosh. That's what I'm talking
about,
dude.
Really? Yeah. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Go ahead and bring him up now.
So give him this year in AA/AAA. He's 18, I'm pretty sure. So, but I do think
I'm ready.
He's going to be an impact player for you in the future. The thing is that I don't know is he's so big getting to meet him. You saw him last year in spring training. We'll see him again. Dude. Is like right now, O'Neill Cruz, who is the shortstop he's a center fielder now. So I keep thinking to myself, because he's so freaking athletic and big, are they going to go, look, what might be best for you is outfield?
Yeah.
Or they go, look, we have a very large shortstop right now. Why don't we move him to first base? Now it's time for another large shortstop to take over.
Maybe so. Mini Gridiron added on to this. Khalil Mack said he's going to play next year. Kevin O'Connell got a multi-year contract extension, as he should. And even though it's not done yet, and Aaron Glenn left the Jets facility without it getting wrapped up, there's a lot of thought that that combination is going to happen. And then Aaron Glenn will be the next head coach of the Jets. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. No break. More content now.
People love commercials.
It's time for Mike Likes It. Let me ask you a question, Mike, to kick off Mike Likes It.
I like this.
Do you think that I gave an accurate retelling of how this came to be? So somebody a couple days ago sent us a message on Facebook. You can follow us on our Facebook page, The KNC Masterpiece. Can someone please explain the origin of Take a Load Off? I must have missed the episode that this started.
Okay.
I want to see if you think this is an accurate recreation. And I said, so it all started months ago when Mike forgot about prepping for Mike Likes It and started to do this ridiculous list about the best questions to start a conversation. It was awful. And I kept complaining about how dumb it was. And Mike kept saying, hey, take a load off. Take it easy after every single question to drive me insane. And then Corey started doing it. Then Alec did it too. Then the fan texters and the folks at Buffalo Wild Wings. So they like to do that to either get me to relax or to irritate me.
Kevin, what did you say about Aaron Glenn a moment ago?
That it's looking like it was going to be a done deal.
It is a done deal.
Oh!
Breaking news.
The Jets have a deal for Aaron Glenn to be their new head coach. Yeah, so there you go. He lands with his old team, according to sports information.
It looked like it was going to be a done deal. And I know some people were like, oh, he left the complex and he didn't sign. And everyone's like, I think it's going to get done today.
Look at NFL trying to take a load off from you. You know?
Yeah. That's accurate. I can't remember the exact Google search, but it was kind of like questions to ask, fun questions or whatever. And then in like the few paragraphs before they get to the questions, it was like, hey, just sit back and relax. And then for some reason I added take a load off on it.
What a genius move.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's worked. Move.
And so sit back and relax and take a load off.
We have shirts.
It's time for Mike Likes It. And I'm going to bring up one of the most favorite subjects for Kevin. And that is
things you don't like.
Taxes.
Oh, great.
I forgot to say this yesterday during Mike Likes It. We were talking about the Dodgers. I think they are a very hot topic right now in sports talk radio. We broke them down a little bit earlier in Baseball Nuggets because we see that Kirby Yates signed there, but we were looking at their rotation. Like, if they're healthy and can pitch, they definitely, their eighth starting pitcher right now would be Clayton Kershaw. So we are looking at the taxes, and I forgot to give this. How they're doing all this deferred money and Texas maybe isn't. And I'll include like Houston in this too, or maybe your Tampa Bay Rays or Florida Marlins. They never even try to spend, so it's tough to include them into this deal. But I went to H&R Block, and they give me how much the top states are in state taxes. And then there was another article on Shohei Ohtani. So the top state tax is California at 13.3%. And then there's a 1.1% tax on a disability insurance that you have to pay if you are working in the state of California. So their state tax, if you want to include the 1.1%, which is a mandatory tax, you are paying 14.4% of your money just in state tax. So that is a lot.
Yikes, that is a lot.
New York, because we brought up New York. So just to give you an idea, New York is 8.82. So 14.4 to 8.82 is a big difference. Yeah. And now you go to Texas, which you would look at this. You can get away with different things because it's a 0% state tax. There is a 6.25% sales tax, but that's on just purchases, which the state of Texas looks at it and says that's the way that we kind of get our state funded money. Yep. And there's different ways, but that's one of the ways. So here are, real quick, your top state taxes. It says California 13.3%, doesn't include the 1.1. Hawaii is at 11%. New Jersey is at 10.75%. Oregon at 9.9. Minnesota at 9.85. District of Columbia, so if you're playing for, let's say, the Nationals, it is 8.95%. New York is 8.82. Vermont, 8.75. Iowa, random, 8.53, because that doesn't seem like a high income or like we really need a lot of state taxes there, place. And then Wisconsin at 7.65. So those are your highest state taxes.
Interesting.
Obviously, interesting. Lowest is Alaska, Florida, Nevada, South Dakota, Texas, Washington, Wyoming.
It's kind of funny, too, because Hawaii is like, hey, I know we're really far away from maybe the rest of everybody, but you want to live here. High taxes. Alaska's like, hey, I know we're really far away.
We have
terrible Wi-Fi, and I know you don't want to live here. So what we're going to do...
Lower those taxes.
Really lower those taxes for you.
So I've read articles on this. I know this isn't too much sports here, but I find this interesting. I think I'm going to live here forever. Like, I don't think I'm going to live in another state.
Okay, all right.
But they say... live on Earth forever. I'm not that crazy person on that Netflix thing. Have you seen that Netflix deal?
Leave the Earth behind, leave the world behind.
No. It's the dude who's going to try to live forever. He's I've done more in my time than Jesus did in his. And I'm going to, and I can have premarital sex or whatever.
Okay.
Which Jesus could not.
Yeah. It is an interesting documentary. This dude wakes up at 4 or 4:30 a.m., has the same thing to eat every time. He takes 57 pills a day.
Oh, my gosh.
He's a multimillionaire. He might even be a billionaire. I'm sorry, I'm forgetting. It's on Netflix. There's a documentary on this. It's interesting. But he's like, you know, the goal is to be the person who lives the longest ever in the history of Earth, I guess. At least recorded.
Good luck defeating Methuselah.
Yeah.
But he's like, you know, everybody says like the longest you could live is maybe 120 or 125. But he's like, I'm going to show you I'm going to beat it.
But mark that. But Do you want to be, even if you're better health than the average 120-year-old, is that what you want? Like, if you're like, hey, you're going to live 40 years longer than everybody, and you'll be 25 the whole time. Like, I get that. Or have your 25-year-old body. This doesn't feel like...
So I'm watching my grandfather right now, and he's over 90, you know, and he's in the home. Got COVID this week, you know, and so it's going around their facility and whatnot and just the fear of all that. But he's not the man that I knew growing up. He's not the man that was like, hey, I'll get out there and help you change your oil and teach you how to change your brake pads. Like, he's not that guy anymore. He can barely stand on his own. Okay. So, yes, that part of it is you kind of do want a little bit of that. But this guy has made this specific goal. He wants to, that'll be the satisfaction for him.
All right.
And it's going to drive him to live a little longer because he thinks about it so much.
Follow-up question then.
I'm trying to find the name of the documentary. I'm sorry.
Help us out. I'm sure people have watched it.
Do you know documentaries?
The dude who's about 45 years old.
Text in.
He has a kid that just went off to college. His kid is, you know, kind of following his dietary deal and workout deal and everything like that.
By the way, for people that are saying Texas state tax is 8.25, I think actually the way it's broken down is it's 6.25 state and then 2 city. So specifically, if you're ever curious about
for
that.
For sales, you mean?
Yeah, yes, sales for tax. Sales. I believe that's how you get to 8.25%.
Okay.
Do you think it's because he's like, hey, this lasts like 40
don't
years.
Don't die.
That's what it's called Don't Die.
On Netflix, it's called Don't Die. It's a dude who's, and when I say multimillionaire, I might be cutting him short. He might be a billionaire.
Is it Don't Die, Never Die?
I think it's Don't Die.
Fascinating. I haven't seen this. I don't even know if I've heard of it, but I'm curious now about it.
Yeah. So
did you enjoy it? I know you said it was interesting.
It was interesting. And, you know, it was kind of one of those, it was a time waster deal, but then watching it, and he does some crazy things. Like, he takes drugs that, like, lower your ability to fight diseases and stuff. Like, they do that when so the doctor said, what this pill is for, or what this is for, in a life sense on why do doctors use this? It's when you have organ transplants.
Okay.
So when you're transplanting somebody else's organ into another person's body, we need to lower the immune system so the body accepts the new organ better. But we wouldn't want to keep these people on this. We don't want to lower their immune system. Like, he's doing experimental, crazy things that he believes will have him living, I don't know, into his 140s or 150s or his life will be better in his 60s or 70s and 80s. Because let's say when he's 80, he believes he'll only have like a 50-year-old body type of deal. So I'm not saying you should follow what he's doing. In fact, there's a lot of people on there that are like, this is dangerous. This isn't science. Like, we haven't done this pill to see, does this pill, let's give it to 100 people. Let's see what it does to these 100 people. You know, that's science, and see if it's repeatable and we're having the same action in different bodies or the side effects and all that stuff. He's just throwing millions of dollars a year into his ability to possibly live longer. But anyways,
there have been a few people who say they think he's a tech billionaire. Yes, to your point.
I think he is a tech billionaire.
Oh, so I got bored. And
that's a great point.
I need something to drive me.
So just real quick, Mike, I was talking about Jess about this last night. Sometimes I think people like aren't as amazed by a billion as they should be. Because if you have $1 million, like if you guys told me I had $1 million, I'm like, wow, that's incredible. And then if you're like, and then I did it 1,000 more times and I got to $1 billion, I'd be like, what?
Yeah.
That's amazing. And so I think sometimes people are like, oh, yeah, he's a billionaire. And like, do you know how crazy that is?
Yeah. I guess I'm out of time, but I did see where Trevor Bauer has decided, because he's not going to be able to play Major League Baseball ever again. Like, he's coming. I think he came to that conclusion, but I think it's like official this offseason that he pitched in Mexico, was the best pitcher in Mexico, and it still doesn't matter. He's been the best pitcher in Japan a year ago, best pitcher in Mexico last year, and nobody even calls his agent to even talk about anything Major League related. So he's like, I just want to make enough money. His goal is now to make enough money on all his social media things and everything to buy a major league team.
Oh,
which I don't think the owners would ever let him. Let's just say 20 years from now, when he's like in his mid 50s, I don't think they would even allow him to make an offer or a bid.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, C Block starring Corey Majors.
Yeah, let's dive in on the worst thing you'd have to watch as a loser next in The Fan.